Phoenix, Arizona, October 14th, 1978. A discussion on certain topics between Irma Pounds and Franklin Wolf. Is the plan for the transfer of one of my principals to Carl still operating?
Yes.
I see.
Yes. Larchin has indicated that that will definitely occur.
Will definitely occur. Now, in the literature, there is something on what happens to the individual mm-hmm. who has received a principle
right.
and then loses it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have caused Shankara to commit suicide.
Yes.
But nothing except the statement about HBB that when she lost 1/7 of her principles, she became a psychological cripple.
Right.
And so putting two and two together, I assume the effect of the transfer of probably my most developed principle mm-hmm. would make of me a psychological cripple mm-hmm. on the other plane.
No. Once you reach the other plane, it's all restored.
It's always what?
It's all restored. You don't continue to be a psychological cripple.
Well, but I understood that the transfer was to take place after my death.
At the moment.
Of death.
Mm-hmm. At the moment of death. And then...
I would be without that principle on the other plane then.
For a short while.
For a time.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I would not have the resources that I normally would have.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what I suspect.
That's true.
Now, since Gertrude's departure and the activation of the dream, I have felt psychologically crippled.
Mm-hmm.
I can't draw upon the resources I had before in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I am not thinking philosophically as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think dramatically or in story form.
Mm-hmm.
My tapes that have made sense are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday it occurred to me that I was already psychologically crippled.
Somewhat.
Hmm?
Somewhat.
Yeah. And I was just wondering whether it could mean that they're pulling it out beforehand.
That's possible.
That thought came to me.
That's possible, Franklin. And it may be that it's more convenient all around to do it a little earlier. But, time will tell about that.
Well, at any rate, I am different. My processes are different.
Yes.
And I am, in some respects, a stranger to myself.
Well, you came very close to death.
Yes. Yes, when Bluejoy was out there early in September, he was had been telephoned to, and he came, and he gave quite a long treatment on a preparation for death. I had been over-medicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been given a certain medication by Dr. Stein.
You're just not used
and
to that.
And then it was transferred to Christensen, and a letter of information I brought up with me. He doubled it.
Mm-hmm.
And presently I found I was losing all appetite and nausea. I could hardly hold a thing down.
Mm.
I had the impression to stop the medication, and then I began to be able to hold. Oof. Well, Brew came and gave a long discussion on it and confirmed that. He reduced the medication of Stein to 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I've been able to...
You were overly medicated.
Yeah, I was overly medicated. Mm-hmm. At one time I had that rattle breathing.
Yes.
And I woke up one night with a lot of mucus in the mouth.
Yes.
Rattle breathing. I thought I was pretty close to going.
Mm-hmm.
And he so regarded it.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole discussion was on the preparation for departure.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon the assumptions of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Now, Helen can come in on the rest of it.
Sure.
All right, Helen.
I'll go.
Now the what he envisages, and I do not claim this, is that I can make the step that renders future obligatory incarnations unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim that.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that view concerning my possibilities.
Yes.
And what would be involved would be to take the pattern indicated in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, if it is valid, of a state of equilibrium where one part of you participates in the universal all, and another part of you participates in the particular, the actual operations of life in the samsara.
Mm-hmm.
But it calls for a critical balance.
Yes.
There's a long discussion of that, and that
yes.
he envisages as mm-hmm. the sort of thing that I'd be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not I am able to do it, I had planned to try to do it.
Yes.
Take such a step. But in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it says that this is equivalent to acquiring the Dharmakaya.
Mm-hmm.
In the Voice of the Silence, the advice is to reject the Dharmakaya and take the Nirmanakaya
mm-hmm.
for the sake of being able to render help to the suffering people in samsara.
Yes.
But in the Evans-Wentz text, it advises taking the Dharmakaya also
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of helping all creatures.
It could be done that way.
Mm. They're two different approaches.
Yes.
As I have discussed it in a couple of tapes and indicated that probably the statement in the Voice of the Silence was for one stage, and the Tibetan Book of the Dead was for another stage.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Either path is noble.
At any rate, before I wanted fully to focus upon that, I wanted to get what confirmation or otherwise from you as to the reliability of these texts.
I consider them very reliable, Franklin.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Well,
it's a deep study, and I'm trying to understand precisely what's indicated there.
I know. It's not
very
obvious.
Deep study.
It's not
but,
obvious.
I think it's very valid. And when your time comes, you could step into either realm. I agree with that, too. Either the Nirmanakaya or the Dharmakaya. And function from either of those planes
mm-hmm.
in helping humanity.
Well, that would serve that purpose. Now, I would like to know the present status of Gertrude. Every day, I talk to her, telling her what's going on, what I'm doing, and so forth, on the assumption that she may hear it. Do you have any evidence that she does hear it?
I think for a while she did, but I believe she's moved on into a deeper area of Devakon, and I think that as of the last perhaps 2 weeks, that she would not be hearing it. She has her own path to fight through there, and a release is necessary in order for her to move on.
I see.
Now, it's possible that if you, when you talk, speak from a devakonic state of consciousness, which is possible for some people, then you could reach her.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the characteristics of a devakonic state of consciousness?
Well, one would have to be unfamiliar at the moment with the present surroundings, and would have to be in a high indifference place, so to speak, and it would be as if you had entered into that higher plane yourself, body-wise and otherwise, and from that point you could concentrate and could communicate, but from a physical level, it would not be possible and shouldn't be desirable, because she must go on, and her release is necessary. She must not be tied to the earth. She'll come back when the time comes. But I feel that she's moving rapidly inward, more and more so.
I've had the impression that a portion of her is remaining with me.
That's possible.
And a portion of me may probably be remaining with her.
That is possible.
And I get a feeling in Anahata, extending into Manipura, that's like a mini Ananda associated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at such times I feel good and so on. It's not always there,
mm-hmm.
but there are conditions under which mm-hmm. that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been trying to inform her as to what I am doing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I once asked her if she wanted to be fully separated from me, and I got what seemed to be the counter response, that she wanted to be associated with me.
I see.
It's felt as though she did something like that
mm-hmm.
when I put it up to her. At any rate, there are times when I feel as though I can't exist in the with her absence, and that probably bears upon something that Robert Johnson said in his interpretation of the dream. This is apart from the grief element and so forth. That she was giving vital support that made it possible for me to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And that I, with the loss of that support, my life itself is somewhat wounded.
Mm-hmm. Can you find a substitute?
Well, I don't want to place another imago over Gertrude's imago. And in the case of Karen, that's definitely out.
Mm-hmm.
Because she came to perform the secular functions that Gertrude performed,
mm-hmm.
like preparing meals,
yes.
handling books, the count books, which it falls in her field, taking care of the house, driving the car,
mm-hmm.
all of which he does efficiently,
mm-hmm.
but is not to be an object of emotional interest on my part. And in fact, she would leave if that did develop, and I'm very careful to prevent that. So far as the heart relationship that existed between me and Gertrude, that is not extended to Karen, deliberately not extended to Karen. Furthermore, she has a life rhythm of 28 as opposed to a life rhythm of 91. It's not very feasible. They're very different rhythms.
Well, I see no reason why the communication would have to cease if you are moving into her realm in order to communicate. But if the communication causes her to stay in one state of consciousness, whereas she might move further in, if that's prevented, then of course I would say that you should stop it. Having achieved where you have achieved in high indifference and so forth, I would think that you could very readily step into her plane of consciousness and communicate from there. And I would suspect that's what you're doing. You're going to her rather than her being earthbound. I was concerned for a while about that possibility, that holding on and possibly preventing her from moving forward, but not if you go into her realm, which few people can do, but I suspect you could do. So I see no harm in that.
Yeah, if I could get the return from her. I at times have had intimations that I have resources within that have not outed in this life.
I think that's true.
Might include the capacity to reach even to David Kahn. I don't know, because I haven't outed them. What I outed in this life was that capacity of articulation and the direct action of the pure reason, which was valuable for formulation.
Yes.
And there have been intimations that there were other resources there that were not outed. Would they become available after death?
I believe so. Yes.
Now my wish has been to pass in, but I've been very careful to not do anything like suicide.
No, you won't do that.
Because that would probably ruin the whole purpose of going in.
Right.
Furthermore,
it would cut you off definitely from a field that you would try to enter.
Yeah. So I have negated that. Robert Johnson said three possibilities stood before me. One was death. The other was the finding of another companion. And the third was to go the way of another enlightening realization, which was an austere way, and which Thorson said would cause my death in a short time. So he set up that combination whereby I continued along with Gertrude. Now, since it is becoming at least more tenuous, the probability of my lingering is reduced. But there's another possibility where the unconscious might be suicidal, from what Drew Joy says. He says that he has noticed that persons who have an unconscious wish to death, or death, will pick up incompetent positions. And here, while Dr. Christensen is a very competent surgeon. He may not be so competent in the medical field. And he said that I may have had an intent that led to my getting a doubling of a dose that was already too high, and was really producing a process toward death itself, which you might say was an unconscious effort to commit suicide.
Yes.
And I wish to block that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to go in, definitely. Still, not by that route.
Well, you'll go when the time is ripe. And in the meantime, you prepare yourself for it.
That's what
I... you've been doing. And I think that you'll not have any problem with the subconscious causing or allowing a suicide. I don't see that at all in your future. But,
now my present plans...
The vehicle will just simply wear out. The vehicle will simply wear out.
It'll wear out by how many years?
Well, at one time, I thought around 91 or 2, and then another time, I got the age 96.
Yes, I remember.
So, you're looking so much better than you did, and I would imagine you could stay until 96.
I'm not enthusiastic about it.
Well, nevertheless, something to be done. Helen, may I have a glass of cold water, please?
I was thinking I'd have to find someone else to, you know.
There is the problem of knowing what to do with this tag end of life. I seem to have said all that I have.
Thank you.
Have to say. I prepared a tape for Dr. Drew Joy that he asked for and wanted to be delivered at a conference he'll have in Pacific Grove near Monterey, California. I've written him that I have prepared such a tape. And I may give it also to some people in Palo Alto who have become interested in my work. And there's the winding up of the estate, getting everything in condition. That's all I see ahead at the moment. What beyond that? What to do with this tag end of life?
I suspect that you'll have inspiration for more taping. You may move into a different realm and begin taping from there. A near-death state and return to the physical brings with it a higher understanding, and it's possible that you'll feel to speak about that.
Well, I already have a tape, Reflections Upon Death, 55 minutes.
Was that since, your episode?
Yes, since I've been here.
I see.
On the 8th of this month I started it.
Good.
And was delivered here.
Good.
At the moment, I'm empty.
Well, then just bask in the sunlight and wait for something to happen.
Well, that's all I've been doing.
At your age, you've earned a little rest and you can take it. Meanwhile, I think that you still serve to stimulate some people, and
apparently they're trying to make me live longer and giving me treatments.
Yeah.
I wish they wouldn't do that.
Well, we would sure miss you.
Well, but I'm bound to go sometime.
Oh, yes. That's one thing we can all count on.
Yeah.
That we'll eventually be gone.
No exception to the rule in that.
No.
With respect to a body made of flesh, bone, and the rest. Well, I think that covers the main point.
Yeah. And she's having difficulty with herself and with her family and accepting her dharma and thinking that it's lying over the hill somewhere. And he wrote a letter saying that she needed perhaps to have a little regression, and that that would maybe clear out the field. I don't like the idea of attempting regression myself, particularly for another person.
You mean regression through hypnosis?
Something like that, yes. I would prefer that we would get together and talk, and she would perhaps do her own remembering.
I see. Well,
then he sent a Dr. Nelson, and I'll see him in another week or so. He came to the office and simply said that Dr. Brujoy had asked him to look me up and to make an appointment. So he's sending people over here. For what reason, beyond me?
Well, he learned of you through me.
I thought so. But if I can help them, I'll be glad. But I don't have any particular plan to help. I think it'll just have to be a spontaneous interchange.
Well, this I can tell you about Dr. Brujoy. He evidently was a fine medical doctor. The only one I found who knew anything about pseudo-hemophilia. Something which caused me to have a hemorrhage, and I had the prostate operation. And Dr. Welch had never had an experience of that kind before, and he never heard of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's in the medical dictionary. My brother had it diagnosed at Stanford Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Women are subject to it as well as men.
Mm-hmm.
The bleeding comes after a certain stage in healing
mm-hmm.
has been finished, and it breaks out.
Mm.
And it is hereditary, and it's my brother who gave me that information, so it evidently went more upon me. But Dr. Joy was the only one I've ever met that knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rare.
Mm-hmm.
He has been over to our tape meetings at various times in past years. He's very generous. He has made substantial contributions to our work. And he expresses substantial interest in our work and in me personally.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he says he has a personal regard that somewhat keeps him from being objective in dealing with me. When Gertrude had her stroke and she was on a mechanical support system that did her breathing for her, her heart was beating, you could see that, I sent for him as a consultant. He did come over explicitly, but before we saw Gertrude, he said that he came over mainly to prevent me from committing suicide. He said he realized I had hidden within me the capacity to cut off the life force, and from the past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he did check on Gertrude, and he and the attending physician came to agreement that the possibility of recovery was nil. Then I made the decision that he should be withdrawn from that support.
Mm-hmm.
I had your opinion and Brew's both
mm-hmm.
that it was adverse.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, she was ready to leave, and it would have been cruel to have kept her in that condition.
In that condition, yes. And it's an awfully hard thing to do because it's the last hope.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the last service I could render her. Then she was in state up at our house for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to her body there. I was told by Bruce that she would really hear everything I said to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And you verified that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he came over with Caroline, his associate, and Helen and Bob were present at the time, and he gave a report on the condition of Gertrude at that time, which was early in June. And then he came over another time, and there's about 3 hours that I have of his work on tape. You might listen to some of it and you form an idea about it.
Mm-hmm.
In which he's urging upon me to take the course that would lead to the androgynous state, where the feminine principle that you depend upon is entirely within yourself. I think it was on the ambitious side.
Mm-hmm.
A program for me, not a program for him. And not to have the displacement of the inner woman by having another woman companion. That was the burden of that. Then he came over the third time when this death threat was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had on tape about 7 hours of his discussion on these points, which will probably tell you as much about him as anything could.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll, if you wish, I'll turn to that.
All right.
He had a woman teacher that he